Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dylan knows Vin Scully anyway. Hi, Dylan. Dylan Hernandez, LA Times, joins us, covers the Dodgers. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. All right, I'm going to tell you the story then.
All right.
Doc Ellis, do you remember Doc Ellis?
Yes.
Is up at the plate for the Pittsburgh Pirates batting. And Vin Scully's voice could always be heard throughout Dodger Stadium, even at a Dodger game. They had it turned up all over the stadium, and enough people had transistor radios in those days that you could hear him broadcasting. And he goes, if you're in the stadium, I want you all to look at Doc Ellis up at the plate right now, because there's something very, very strange about him up there. The entire 50,000 people in Dodger Stadium stopped. No one said a word. You could hear a pin drop, waiting for Vin Scully to explain to everybody what was the matter with Doc Ellis's approach at the plate. Doc Ellis, he finally told us, was a right-handed batter, and he was wearing his ear flap of his helmet over the wrong ear. And it was just everyone in the stadium just went crazy. But that's the effect Vin Scully had on a Dodger game. He could get everybody to just stop what they were doing and listen to his story, even if you were at the game.
No doubt.
All right, Dylan. Hope I didn't bore you with that one too much. Welcome
into
the show, Dylan. How's it going,
thank you for
sir?
Having me on again. I'm doing great.
So, last time we had you on, Dylan, I think we were almost positive the Dodgers were going to make a push for Bryce Harper. They had just made all these big trades. They traded Puig. They traded Kemp. And I believe you came on and said something along the lines of, if you're going to move your two most popular players, you better be getting something in return. AJ Pollock is what you end up with. How is Los Angeles feeling about this?
Not great, you know. Especially, you know, and in all fairness to the, you know, just kind of give a disclaimer here to the front office, I will say this, you know, putting a team together in L.A., it's much different than I think in any other market.
No
right?
doubt.
Because of the need of star power. And, you know, you can't just think about winning. You obviously can't just think about putting together, you know, team full of just big names. You have to kind of think about both. So I do think it's a difficult task. That said, clearly they're not happy. You know, the fact that the team's payroll right now is kind of hovering just below the luxury tax, coincidentally, again, right? I don't think it's sitting particularly well with people. And a couple of weeks ago, you know, they had this, like, fan fest thing at the ballpark. And while I was there, I actually asked to speak to Andrew Friedman. And instead, Stan Kasten, the team president,
of course,
you know, said he wanted to talk to me. And Kasten kind of went in this weird rambling thing about how, you know, he accused me of basically making up the fact that fans are upset and basically said, look, you know, we're selling tickets. Everything's fine, basically, you know, to kind of summarize what he said. And that didn't sit well with the fans, you know, because I think it's one thing, you know, for fans to be loyal. It's a whole different thing for them to actually be satisfied with what's going on, right? And I think Kasten probably in that situation kind of mistook the loyalty of the fans for, you know, the satisfaction of the fans.
Not a surprise.
But yeah, there's clearly this kind of feel of, you know, kind of what's going on here? Why are they doing this again? You know, because in theory, right, you know, last year they stayed under the luxury tax threshold, which basically, you know, kind of reset, you know, their whole luxury tax situation where, right, because if you're a multi-time offender, you get taxed at a higher rate. And this basically brought it down to kind of the minimal levels. And, you know, in theory, this was so that they could make a push for Bryce Harper. And here we are, and they're not pushing for Harper. You know, pitchers and catchers are about to report. And now it's kind of, if anything, we've kind of heard things about, well, you know, maybe they're interested in, you know, Arenado or Rendon next year. And it's kind of like, okay, wait, so now you're putting this off another year, you know? And obviously, right, you know, and Tony, you know this more than anyone, right, given what was going under, you know, the previous ownership with Frank McCourt, you know, and him saying, insisting he had money when he really didn't, this is a market that's pretty suspicious of its owners, right? So I think, you know, kind of right now people are kind of looking at the situation thinking, okay, well, what's exactly going on here?
All right, Dylan, so What? Okay, let's just say I agree with you that the fans are probably a little upset. But is there any happiness from anybody in Los Angeles that they have gone to two straight World Series? And the fact of the matter is that no matter who they do or don't sign at this point before the season, the chances are as the season goes along, if they need somebody, they will probably sign them. Will they not? Or is that attitude going to change this year as well?
Well, I think, see, this is the thing, though. And this is, again, this is the whole L.A. part of this, right? They don't look at it as they, you know, I don't think the fans here look at it necessarily as, you know, we won the National League twice in a row. We lost in the World Series twice in a row. And part of the problem that they have here, right, and again, I totally understand it. It's two totally different sports. But the Lakers, you know, with Shaq and Kobe, just kind of made winning feel like it's something that could happen automatically, right? And so when that doesn't happen, people here get a little bit weird, right? I mean, you kind of look at the way people are kind of looking at this Lakers situation. I mean, given, you know, that they've just been kind of hovering around 500, you think, okay, there wouldn't be much excitement, much drama around this. And this is like that's like a full drama show in and of itself.
It's back to normal,
you know,
there.
So, yeah, right? So like with, you know, with the Dodgers right now, I think the way it's kind of seen actually is, okay, we fell short twice. We were right there. Why aren't we pushing our chips in? Why are we playing it safe all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think, again, that's kind of a unique challenge, I think, maybe that you kind of have to face in this market. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, the owners are kind of absentee owners, right? Mark Walter is based in Chicago. He doesn't spend much time out here. You know, Stan Kasten, the team president, is, you know, from back east somewhere. You know, Andrew Friedman grew up in Houston, obviously was in Tampa. You know, so you have a lot of like non-LA people kind of running this team right now. And I don't think they quite get that, right? I don't think they quite understand what the expectations are here. And, you know, maybe it's better that they don't understand it, because maybe it is the type of thing that could drive them nuts if they actually have to, you know, think about all the things that they have to balance.
I mean, that leads me to believe that they don't care about what the expectations are, because clearly they've been in L.A. long enough to know how, you know, the folks in L.A. get down, and they seem to be, as you said, playing it safe. I want to ask you a little bit about Clayton Kershaw. Obviously, he dealt with some injury, a little bit of loss in velocity. What is the expectation for Clayton Kershaw moving into this 2019 season?
You know, I think if you ask him, you know, and you were to be honest, I'm guessing he would tell you he's ready to win another Cy Young Award. You know, I think the among the fans, I'm guessing, you know, I think that there's a lot of people are kind of holding their breath here, hoping it doesn't get ugly.
Right.
You know, I think at times it was ugly last year because, like you said, the velocity wasn't there. And I think everybody's just kind of hoping, you know, here's this guy who's really just kind of done everything the right way, so to speak, right? I mean, I remember, you know, before I became a columnist and I was on the beat, you know, during those 8 years, I would get to Dodger Stadium, you know, fairly early. And what I would always see is, like, Clayton Kershaw, only guy out on the field, running in the outfield, right? And, you know, he's obviously done, like, you know, he's involved with a lot of charities in the area. And so there is this kind of, everybody's pulling for the guy, right? And I think there is a little bit of a fear that, like, okay, well, what if the velocity doesn't come back?
Right.
What if he can't ever adjust to pitching like this? And what if he gets embarrassed, right? I think that that's kind of what everybody is hoping doesn't happen. You know, if obviously if he were to win, you know, 14 or more games, I think the team would take that for sure.
All right, last year was the first time I ever was lucky enough or unlucky enough to have Clayton Kershaw on my fantasy baseball team. So I believe, Dylan, that what happens to Clayton Kershaw is all going to come down to whether or not I bring him back to my roster or not. Because if I do, he's going to struggle. If I let him go,
so
back to Cy Young
year.
Form. Yeah, that's what will happen. How's Corey Seager? Is he 100% shortstop, the whole deal? He's ready to roll? Or is there going to be any waiting time on him?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a waiting time on him. You know, I'm not sure he's going to be quite ready for opening day. You know, I was told basically that his recovery is kind of where it should be at this point. You know, he has started running. He has started swinging a bat. Yeah, and he's going to obviously be a huge part of, you know, whether or not, you know, they're going to be as good as the front office hopes they are. You know, obviously if he's, you know, a top 5, top 10 hitter in Major League Baseball. Obviously, they're going to be, you know, they're going to probably be pretty good because they also have Justin Turner there in the middle of the lineup. You know, and if he isn't, then I think you're looking at kind of Turner and not all too much there in the middle of the lineup. So, you know, they could struggle a bit offensively. Yeah, but that's going to be kind of a big, big question mark, I think. You know, especially with him, it's not, you know, it's elbow and hip. So you're kind of dealing with, I think, both the offensive end of things and the defensive end of things, right? I mean, even long term, I think there are questions of whether, you know, does Seager stay at short, you know, at shortstop? Would you move him over to third base, maybe even a first? You know, and I guess I'm guessing that, you know, how things unfold this year are going to go a long way into dictating, you know, some of those questions.
Dylan, we appreciate it. It's nice to hear that there's just a question or two surrounding the Dodgers this year,
you know,
going into the season rather than, you know, let's just get ready to raise another pennant. I'm sure they probably will when it's all said and done, but sounds a little more interesting this time around.
You know you're going to get to 100% real anytime Dylan comes on. He doesn't bite his tongue very much.
Appreciate that, Dylan. Thanks so much, man. We'll catch up to you soon.
All right. Sounds great.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thanks. I hope he's 100% right. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.